Welcome to the Sufi Reverberations podcast, where each week, God willing, you will be able to hear a poem, a story, a meditation, and a musical interlude that give expression to one Sufi's perspective concerning the mystical dimension of Islam. My name is Anab Whitehouse, and I will be your host. Although I am not a sheikh, nonetheless, I did have the opportunity to spend 16 years in the company of a Sufi saint of the 20th century, and by the grace of God, was able to gain a few insights into the nature of the Sufi mystical path through that association. So, without further delay, let's proceed to the essential contents of this episode. Approximately 35 years ago, I had the great good fortune of accompanying my sheikh when he went to Mecca and Medina. This was my first trip to these holy places. When I returned from my overseas journey, which lasted 40 days, I was inspired to write the following poem in tribute to Mecca and in remembrance of my visit there. Allah's city serves as a fountain, flowing to quench our cries. Amidst the rocks and sand, everywhere barrenness meets one's eyes, and yet the heart is drawn to this land. God is the manifest and the hidden. God is the manifest and the hidden. The pilgrims are like drops united, swirling below God's throne. Streams seeking the ocean, returning to their celestial home. Those who fathom depths of devotion, yea, neither do they fear nor are they grieved. Yea, neither do they fear nor are they grieved. Sweepers of the mosque, travelers of love's path, fighters of the great war, seekers at Allah's door, keepers of the shoes, people of sacrifice, my heart remembers you. The aura of grace and majesty fills the watch of the night, freeing hearts from nafs' snares, allowing our essence to take flight. Joy to those lost in zikr and prayers. God is the light of the heavens and earth. God is the light of the heavens and earth. Some spend their hours at Ibrahim's feet. Others stand near his son. Souls on altars of love, offering their darkness for the sun. Touched by mercy one rises above. Be not one who longs for that which sets. Be not one who longs for that which sets. Birthplace of the last of the prophets, a mercy for life's deen that extends beyond death. Who knows where prophetic feet have been, or what has been touched by holy breath. And Muhammad is the best example, and Muhammad is the best example. Humanity lost in ignorance, what do we know of life's worth? Our hearts are deaf to light. True children of Mecca seek rebirth, and spend their lives struggling to love's heights. God is the rich, and we are the poor. God is the rich, and we are the poor. Sweepers of the mosque, travelers of love's path, fighters of the great war, seekers at Allah's door, keepers of the shoe, people of sacrifice, my heart remembers you. Mecca's past tells of beautiful truth, a clear guidance for all. Be humble, be not blind, an invitation to heed God's call, for messages contained in God's sign, we do not exist save to serve our Lord. We do not exist save to serve our Lord. Sweepers of the mosque, travelers of love's path, fighters of the great war, seekers at Allah's door, keepers of the shoes, people of sacrifice, my heart remembers you. The title of today's short story is A Gift. A saint, who happened to be a spiritual guide as well, was walking with a group of his students through an open-air market in a certain part of the city. The general area in which the market was located had for some time been a place where considerable tension between several ethnic groups existed. On occasion, there had been violence due to this ongoing conflict. But, for the most part, a sort of wary truce had been observed by both sides. As often is the case in such situations, either no one really was quite sure what had started the problems, or everyone had a different opinion about what it was all about and why everyone supposedly had a duty to ensure that the conflict continued. The saint had wanted to go to the market in order to purchase some food to prepare for a spiritual celebration that was to take place later in the evening. The occasion was to commemorate the life of one of the great guides of their mystical path, and as had been the practice of this spiritual way for centuries, all of the followers were keeping a special fast prior to the celebration. Both the fast and the commemoration were extremely important observances for the spiritual way. Unless a person was ill or prevented by some set of circumstances of an unavoidable nature, everyone was expected to participate in both the fast and the celebration that accompanied it. Most of the people who were followers of this spiritual path belonged to one particular community from among the two ethnic groups who had the aforementioned history of conflict. On the other hand, many of the merchants who had stalls in the market were members of the other ethnic community. For years, the saint had made a point of shopping in the market, trying to promote friendship and harmony whenever he could during the trips to the area. Moreover, as was his inclination whenever he walked through the market, he would stop and talk with different merchants, asking after their welfare, listening to their concerns, and exchanging observations or suggestions about various issues. This particular trip to the market was no different. Because of the numerous people with whom the spiritual guide wished to speak, as well as the many people who wished to speak with the saint, the journey through the market was very slow, but the students of the saint who had accompanied the teacher on many such occasions previously were quite prepared for the slow pace of the walk. At one of the stalls, a member of the other ethnic community saw the saint, smiled towards him, and hugged the teacher. He began talking with the spiritual guide, and the merchant's behavior clearly indicated his love for the teacher. The two became engaged in a conversation involving an exchange of ideas and observations about life in the community, world problems, and their respective families. The people who were accompanying the teacher stayed together at a respectful distance, allowing the two to talk about whatever they wished to in relative privacy. During the discussion, the merchant, who owned a dairy bar, put together a milkshake and offered it to the teacher. The saint took the offering, drank from it, and in between swallows continued talking with the merchant. When the teacher finished the drink, he lingered for a few more moments and completed the discussion. The spiritual guide then apologized for having to rush off, but there were still a few more stops to be made in the market, and in addition, there were other preparations for that evening's celebration to which attention needed to be given. The merchant fully understood, bid the teacher goodbye, and asked the spiritual guide to say hello on the merchant's behalf to the saint's wife and children. The teacher assured the merchant that he would pass on the latter's salutations to the saint's family, thanked the merchant for the most delicious drink, and continued on with his journey through the market. Once the remainder of the necessary purchases had been made, the teacher and his retinue started to head back to the spiritual center. One of the members walking with the teacher was quite upset about something or other, and his mood was readily visible to the others in the group. The teacher, of course, noted the man's condition as well. The teacher put his arm around the man, and the two continued to walk. The teacher said, "Son, You are obviously upset with someone or something, and since we have a bit of time before we reach the center, why don't you tell me what is burdening your mind and heart? Perhaps we all can learn something if we discuss the matter together." The man was reluctant to say anything. However, the teacher encouraged him and assured him that whatever he had to say would be okay. Finally, the man, who was a relative newcomer to the spiritual tradition, replied, "Sir, I mean no disrespect, but I have witnessed something a short while ago which is confusing me and generating a lot of doubts in my mind about you, the path, and myself." When the man saw that the teacher's countenance of concern and kindness had not altered as a result of the former's initial comments, the man went on, "Today is one of the holiest days of our spiritual tradition. It is a day of fasting. You often have told us how important observing this practice is. Yet, this afternoon, I saw you drink a milkshake. In fact, it seems that not only was the fast broken, but this was done in conjunction with someone who is a member of the ethnic community with whom we often are in conflict. I'm sorry, but I just don't understand what is going on, and as a result, I am quite confused about things." The teacher continued to walk with the man, his arm remaining affectionately draped about the individual's shoulder. The spiritual guide responded by saying, "Well, your confusion is quite understandable, but there are several factors concerning this situation about which you might not be aware, and I'm happy you have raised that question, for it provides us with an opportunity to explore the issue a little and reflect on some important principles. To begin with," the teacher noted, "you are quite right that I broke the fast when I drank the milkshake given to me by the merchant. However, you might not know that our spiritual tradition offers several ways for me to remedy this breach. For example, I could fast several months in succession, or I could feed a certain number of hungry people for so many days. Each of these is an acceptable manner of making spiritual amends. Since divinity has been so generous in blessing our path with a variety of ways for satisfying our spiritual obligations, I probably will elect to keep long fast because this is how my nature is inclined. I assure you, however, keeping this fast of repentance will be far, far easier for me to do than it would have been for me to disappoint that merchant's loving demeanor towards me if I were to have refused his kind generosity merely to keep strict adherence with a requirement that could be satisfied in other ways, which also have been authorized and approved by divinity." Today's musical interlude is entitled Longing. Thank you. Out of the 31,536,000 and odd seconds that make up a year, you have been spending your time with the extremely small subset of seconds spanning 365 and a quarter days, which comprise the Sufi Reverberations podcast. This week's meditative essay is called Keys. There is not one right way to seek God, but every way one tries must be right. Every right way is a key which unlocks one or another spiritual door. Every incorrect way places further locks and doors between the individual and successful completion of the spiritual quest. Sometimes when people begin to reflect on the potential length and difficulty of the mystical path, there is a tendency for the individual to become overwhelmed. One tries to comprehend all the struggle and sacrifice that will be necessary, and one starts to feel faint-hearted and queasy. The idea of spiritual realization seems so close and palpable, but the ontological or experiential realization of this idea feels so far away. One goes through cycles of excitement and being deeply discouraged. An important key to maintaining perspective through these early ups and downs is to understand that mysticism is a journey which goes at its own unique speed for each individual. However, irrespective of its speed, in one form or another, it will last a lifetime. Like biological, emotional, and intellectual maturation, mystical development takes time. Although various spiritual transformations may take place very rapidly when they do occur, these transformations must be preceded by certain stages and processes that prepare the individual for those changes. Spiritual transformations taken in and of themselves can take place very rapidly. Sustainable spiritual transformations are another matter. Due to our impatience to reach the destination, we want to hook ourselves up to a powerful spiritual booster and blast off. We tend to forget even astronauts go through an extensive training process in order to minimize the risks associated with their journey and in order to prepare themselves for the tasks that must be performed once in orbit. Consonant with and complementary to the foregoing is the importance of pacing oneself on the spiritual path. This is another key to having proper perspective concerning the mystical journey. Ironically, sometimes both the false self and satanic forces will urge one to jump into mystical practices in a big, enthusiastic way. There is a method to this apparent madness. When these heroic efforts don't produce the desired results, as they cannot since the underlying intention is incorrect, people become disillusioned, disappointed, and frustrated. They become mystical burnouts. The key to pacing is balance. One simultaneously must engage in some level of constant spiritual activity in order not to stagnate on the path. Yet the degree of this activity must not be so intense it cannot be sustained over time and thereby lead to a waning of interest or disengagement from the Sufi path. Whenever the individual raises the level of intensity of her or his spiritual efforts, Sufi masters often suggest these efforts be coordinated within a context of less intense but steady spiritual activity. Moreover, both the more intense as well as the less intense forms of spiritual activity need to be interspersed with brief periods of relaxation to keep one, in a sense, loose and fresh for the spiritual tasks at hand. Every stage of the mystical journey provides keys for subsequent stages of that journey. These keys come in the form of the myriad learning experiences that take place in our day-to-day lives. Sufi masters point out that our whole life is made up of a chain of experiential events. Those events are not chance, arbitrary happenings. Each and every link of the chain is fully intended by God. Each and every event has something to teach us about our relationship with God. Every experiential lesson is a key, or forms part of a more complex key, that can help unlock the meaning of our lives. The spiritual lessons we learn today may help, God willing, open doors along the mystical path tomorrow. Conversely, every inattention concerning these lessons has the potential to create spiritual difficulties later on in our journey. Indeed, one of the reasons why we sometimes tend to run into the same sort of problems in our lives is because we didn't take advantage of all the previous opportunities God had given us to learn the spiritual lessons of life. Every day, God introduces events into our lives that require patience, forbearance, forgiveness, courage, sincerity, charitableness, honesty, perseverance, trust, generosity, compassion, kindness, sensitivity, and humility. Each time we are, for example, patient, we help fashion, by the grace of God, a key of patience. Each time we have forbearance, then, by the grace of God, we help fashion a key of forbearance, and so on. The events of our day-to-day lives provide opportunities for the fashioning of temporary spiritual keys that help resolve, God willing, the immediate problems of our lives. Over time, and with God's help, what is temporary becomes permanent. We become patience. We become forbearance. We become forgiveness. Such qualities are very important keys to unlocking, as well as giving expression to, our spiritual potential. Sufi masters encourage practitioners of the path to seek to work towards fashioning as many of those permanent keys as we can. All of these qualities are correct ways of seeking God because they all reflect divinity and are not possible to acquire except through God's blessings. God wishes our spiritual success. The fact there are so many opportunities in our lives for fashioning the spiritual keys, which, God willing, unlock the treasure house of divine favor, is a clear sign of God's good wishes for our spiritual well-being. Sufi masters are constantly encouraging initiates to try to find as many ways as possible for seeking and working towards acquiring spiritual keys of one kind or another. One simply doesn't know which key or combination of keys may be most pleasing to God. Bearing witness to the oneness of God is a key to spiritual success. Prayer is such a key. Fasting is this kind of key. Charitableness is a key. Remembrance of God is a key. Repentance is a key. Contemplation of God's signs within us and without us is a key. Good works are a key. Meditation is a key. Gratitude is a key. Dependence on God is a key. Love is a key. No matter how many times one may fail in the pursuit of such spiritual keys, the Sufi masters urge initiates to try again and again and again. Persistence and perseverance are keys as well. On the Sufi path, the master key is the Sheikh. This is because the spiritual guide is the means through whom one learns how to unlock the secrets of all the other spiritual keys. The Sheikh does not replace prayers or fasting or charitableness and so on. Nonetheless, everything of value one learns about the meaning, significance, and reality of these spiritual activities comes through one's spiritual association with the Sheikh. Through the example and presence of the spiritual guide, one learns, God willing, about tolerance, love, kindness, mildness, justice, integrity, commitment, and piety. Through the support, protection, encouragement, and wisdom which God extends to the individual through the Sheikh, one is enabled, if God wishes, to carry on amidst the difficulties, tests, trials, and challenges of the mystical path. The Sheikh is the one who, by the grace of God, not only helps the individual to bring passions and anger into balance, but, God willing, oversees the transformation of these protagonists into spiritual allies. Furthermore, the sheikh is the one who, with the support of God, helps the individual to cleanse the heart and empty the seer of the world and perfect the spirit. The cleansing of the heart is a key to unlocking one's potential for gnosis of God. The emptying of the seer, an internal spiritual faculty, is a key to unlocking one's potential for witnessing the disclosures of God's manifestations. The perfection of the spirit is the key to unlocking one's potential for love of God. For all of the foregoing reasons, as well as many others, the sheikh is the master key through which, by the grace of God, the doors to spiritual identity and essential capacity become unlocked. The sheikh is a master key because divinity has fashioned her or him to have such a spiritual function. You have been listening to the Sufi Reverberations podcast. I hope you will join me next week for a new episode of this program. May peace be your companion.